Should we just stare into the corner? Should we all
We're going now. I feel like we've broken the ice. I'm here. We're in San Francisco. We're out here for the Macworld / iWorld.
The ultimate iFan event.
The ultimate iFan event. And I'm joined here on this episode by my friends Paul Kfasis from Rogue Amoeba and Scott Simpson from the internet.
That's a way better, yeah. That's way better than my intro.
And so I feel like the elephant in the room of this thing is that Macworld Expo, I still call it Macworld Expo.
Yeah, it's just Macworld. That's fine.
It's weird and it's getting weirder.
I feel like you need to get into Macworld, to get onto the show floor, you need a really complicated iPad case or a limp. Like one of the two things.
You cracked that joke yesterday on like a text message. And then I was upstairs like on the third floor. And then I noticed it really are a lot of limps. There's a lot of people at this conference with leg injuries of some sort.
Another way of saying that might be that the it seems that the overall demographic, the overall average age appears to be a little higher than it's been in the past. I don't know. Maybe I just always had a filter on because, you know, every other year I've worked for Apple and have been up here for something or whatever, but now as a person who gives zero craps.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Also, can we swear? Do we not swear?
Yeah, you could let them fly.
Okay. As a person who gives zero craps,
I think it skews older. I don't know that I think it's older this year. But Macworld in general has always skewed. It's like the mugs, and you know, it's older. It's an older generation that comes to these things. Just in general, I think.
I thought you were going to say mugs and something that rhymes with mugs, like mugs and uggs.
No, like the Mac user group, you know.
Oh, I don't know.
You worked at Apple.
Yeah, but I don't know what that stuff is.
Yeah, and the user group thing with...
That's a...
It's so old, though.
Right,
that's
it's like, too old. That's I'm like, dating myself here. I'm the youngest
and
one
I don't
room.
Mean it. And I, you know what? There's probably a lot of people who listen to this show who are still members, active members of a mug. But, you know, I think then it's just, you probably just have friends who just still get together and drink or whatever. I don't know. But it used to be that you had to join a Mac user group to find somebody else to talk about this stuff with because there were only like...
The 10 of you in that whole town.
Right, who had a Macintosh computer. Because like in 1988, there was no reason for anybody to have a computer. Hmm. Like before the internet, normal people had no reason to own a computer.
And right. So a lot of the folks who come to like a Macworld, they come probably from that culture. Are they meeting up with their pals from other mugs, do you think? Or... that's how they got into it, and that's why they're still here.
I don't know. I think some of them come every year, and right. And so they probably see some of the same people. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something where, why would young people come to this? I think that's really the question, is what is the draw for young people? And they're certainly trying to get, you know, they had Ashton Kutcher on there for his Steve Jobs movie, but, you know, they had him and Josh Gad as, like, one of the keynote speeches, and they had Will.i.am yesterday as well. So it's certainly they're trying to pull in a younger demographic, but younger people, you know, you can get this stuff on the web. You can find it plenty of places. You don't necessarily have to come to Macworld to get information the way that you used to.
So I did just to as a, you know, maybe it's the exception that proves the rule, but I was on a panel this afternoon up in the conference thing. And then when it was over, some people who read the website or listen to the show came up and introduced themselves, including a young man. A high school student named Matthew, and he was very effusive, says he likes my website. I was thrilled that somebody, you know, who's younger than me actually reads my site. I worried to death that I've, you know.
That you skew old as well?
Yeah, totally.
I've noticed your Bieber news going up as in some sort of attempt.
And then I asked him, but then I thought, well, hell, it's Friday. I was like, how are you here? And he goes, oh, my dad called me out sick and took me here.
Nice.
And I was like, now that's a great dad.
That's
you got
a good
a great
dad there,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's open tomorrow. He could have been here if he wanted to be at your panel.
I don't know that that's why he came, and I certainly wasn't going to ask. I don't know, and I didn't. But I don't know. It's actually cooler though if your dad is willing to call you out of school sick and take you to Macworld. And you know, he was very enthusiastic about it. Really seemed excited about the show floor and some of the stuff he saw. So I don't know. I guess there's one kid who's young and seemed to really enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I've enjoyed the couple of shows that I've gone to, the podcast tapings and things like that have been nice and interesting, and that seems vital and interesting still. So
yeah, it's like it's two different things. And I every year I always make this thing, but there's this conference where there's panels and presentations
talks
and stuff, and then there's the trade show, the expo, whatever you want to call it. And I feel like now it is never more separate, because now they used to have like the Macworld stage where Macworld magazine, and that's that whole confusion where there's Macworld the magazine and Macworld the conference, and
there's also Macworld the lady, Macworld the chocolate, Macworld the bathtub. There's so many Macworlds, it's so confusing.
Right, and some of them capitalize the W, some of them
don't.
And they all get very mad.
Which, however you screw it up.
Yeah, no, I flew into Macworld International once. I was supposed to be in Nevada, New Hampshire. Wrong. The W was tall and not tiny.
But I did speak to somebody today. Like, I was on the show floor a little bit, and I was talking to somebody, and I, you know, I'm not going to say who, but I knew them, and, you know, and I said, just tell me the honest truth. How do you think it's doing? And he was like, so-so. But he thought that year over year that it really has made a difference that Macworld stage isn't there anymore, because people would come through the expo to get to the stage.
And this is the first year they moved that stage outside of the expo hall.
Right. And so it actually makes the actual presentations on that stage way better, because it used to be like this acoustic nightmare where nobody could hear anything. And you get up there and you're doing a panel and you're 30 seconds into it and three people are shouting, I can't hear you. And then
and half the audience was asleep because they were just there looking for a place to sit down.
That was also very true. That's no exaggeration. Every time I've ever spoken at Macworld, there are like older gentlemen sleeping in chairs.
Oh, yeah. Like maybe there's a nose pick going on. Right. There's an ear hair trim.
And it's, you know, it's never, to me, high pressure public speaking. Panels are easier than doing talks. And you know, you just have to be clever for 30 seconds here and there. But it is, no matter how relaxed you are, it is very unsettling to see somebody sleeping in your audience.
So this is better because you got to climb a set of stairs to get there in the first place.
Yeah. Did you guys walk the floor? There is, though, a lot of seating. Like,
right,
it seems like they maybe didn't sell out the entire show floor, and so they've put in some
seating,
some couches and stuff.
I feel like the floor was pretty full. I think compared to last year or the year before, I feel it's pretty similar. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I definitely did notice some benches in various areas, which it's probably a good thing. It makes, it makes cruising the floor a little easier.
Paul, do you guys have a booth this year?
No, we've always done the even number years. Okay. So the odd number years, 2013, I just get to come out here and screw around.
That's great. I've always wondered, is there a way to measure, like, how do you measure the return on investment? And do you feel like you can effectively measure that, given that so much of it presumably is kind of a branding thing?
Right.
It seems like probably a difficult decision given the some of the costs involved.
I mean, the simplest thing we do to try and measure a little bit of the return is just hand out a coupon of some sort, and we can track that coupon. But in general, no, it's not something where you're gonna, even if you're selling on the show floor. I guess that would be the easiest way. If you're selling a hardware product, especially like the Cosmonaut guys are there, the Oloclip guys there.
Oh, nice.
And if they're selling a physical product and they you know, 1,000 units and it's $50 each and it cost them $40,000 to be there, then they just made $10,000 and you can see we made money on this. But yeah, certainly for us, you're not wrong to use the word branding, but it's not something where we're like Coke just trying to get our name out there.
I see.
But somebody hears about us and 6 months later they realize they need it and they say, oh, right, I heard about something like that.
Right.
When I was at Macworld, let me look it up. And, you know, we have no way of tracking that sale.
Right.
That
sale's
not going to come back through our coupon or through any other system. It's just hopefully we'll get that sale eventually. But I think there's a lot of intangibles to exhibiting where just having the face-to-face interaction with customers is super valuable. And just things that, you know, it's not just related to sales.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You guys have stuck to I don't know if it's completely accurate, but every other year? Is that like your official?
2004, 2006, 2008, 2010, and 2012.
Yeah. And that's always been your strategy?
No, it sort of happened organically.
It just happened.
Yeah, it happened. We skipped 2005. We did 2006, and you know, maybe at 2008 we were like, all right, let's just maybe do the even number of years because it's cheaper, and you know, it's a whole lot of work, and especially for we're a 10-person company, it's not, you know, when I don't know, HP has a huge booth, but they've got 10,000 employees around the world, 20,000 employees. They send 20 people here. It's not a big deal to them. For us, it's pretty much almost the whole company is there, and we're shut down for several days. So it's a much bigger endeavor for us to undertake.
I saw the HP booth. It seems like they're, you know, most places they go t-shirt, you know, everybody wears like the company. HP went with like a blue Oxford shirt. It's, so they all sort of look like they worked at Blockbuster.
Wait, a polo or a,
no,
like a button-down?
Like a button-down Oxford, like a light blue. I mean, I'm not putting that shirt down. I actually have light blue Oxford shirts.
He's wearing one right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it's gray, but it gave it like a Blockbuster. I don't know. Maybe I'm just dating myself by remembering Blockbuster.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's a Blockbuster?
the thing, you know, you guys have nice polos that are that work well, and you want to have some, you want people to be dressed the same way.
Yeah, you need a little bit of a uniform so people know,
yeah,
these are the people I should talk to.
Right. The thing that I feel like is there are certain cliches of the show floor. The one that gets me the most, that I dislike the most, is the lab coat. Like, we're in science right now. And that's why you should buy our backup system or whatever it is, you know.
Well, I think, does Drive Savers do that, I think?
Yeah, well.
But they have, like, clean rooms where they're actually probably using lab coats.
Yeah, but the show floor is not a clean room. I get where they're going.
You're right.
I get it.
Yeah, and a variant on the scientist is the doctor.
The doctor.
Yeah, and maybe that's even what they do, because maybe Drive Savers.
Right,
maybe
it's like a first aid sort of thing.
Yeah, but either way, it's the same coat. It's.
Right,
you know. Right. You buy a lab coat, and that's your uniform.
Right, whether you're a doctor or not. You ever have a doctor that didn't wear a lab coat?
No, you don't trust it. You can't trust that. They don't have the $40 to buy a lab coat?
It's a great point. You need, their uniform is a big part of the authority.
The authority, absolutely.
Like the stethoscope.
It's the making you wait and the lab coat. That's it.
Yeah, it is the making you wait. The, I love a doctor's office. I wonder about this all the time, and you guys are the perfect two people to ask this question of. So when you go to a doctor's office, obviously you have to wait for 10 to 45 minutes. How much rifling through the drawers do you do? Because the dam broke for me one day. I was like, well, fuck this. I got, you know, here are the two things that can happen, right? Either I go through the drawers, and the doctor catches me going through the drawers, which means they come in early. Like, this is sort of a Murphy's Law thing.
And they didn't knock?
Yeah, they just come in.
Yeah, no, they got a knock.
So that'll give me time. And that will hopefully, you know, hasten their arrival. But if not, you know, I got lifetime of tongue depressors.
Yeah, absolutely. You walk out of there with a backpack worth
swabs.
Of cotton swabs.
Yeah, I got swabs up the, you know, where swabs go.
I rifle. I'll admit it. I rifle. I'm with you.
You're a rifler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I would have guessed both of you to be
non-riflers?
Hold back and play, you know, that dumb word game.
Yeah, that's exactly. I just sit there. Like,
you're on the phone?
Yeah. Although the last couple of doctors I've had to go to,
I've got no reception, I feel like. They got lead lined
walls. I've had that. I have that problem where the doctors I've gone to have, they're in like Faraday cages.
Yeah.
It's like, I get that mysterious circle next
circle,
to the word
nobody
horizon.
Knows what it means, but your phone doesn't work.
It means you're fucked. It's like, we're not even going to try. It's like the phone has given up trying to get an internet connection. No, but when I had the thing with the finger last year and I had to go to a specialist to have some surgery to repair a ligament that I severed. But with this doctor, and he's a great doctor. And
John just entered a 4-second fugue state.
Well, I just thinking about it makes me very sad about the terrible injury.
But you're all right now.
I'm all right. And the guy was a great surgeon, and you guys can vouch that my finger, which I couldn't move at all. A year
looking
ago at Macworld, couldn't move it at all. Now it's great. Whenever I met him, though, it was a very nice waiting room, sort of almost like a
spa kind of thing?
Yeah, like an old hotel. I think, okay. In fact, I think it might be used to be an old hotel. But then they would call me, and I'd go into a little room. And
Was this an actual doctor?
No, it's a hand and arm specialist.
Okay, all right.
Hand, shoulders, and elbows.
That is not a type of doctor.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes doctor. Come on.
A very nice waiting room. It was a very nice waiting room. You know, it's just like I said, like an old hotel lobby. And then when they would call me, I'd go into a very small room, totally white, very small, and there'd be a table. And I would come in. There's a door. There are two doors to get in the room. One from this waiting room. You just go right in. There's no hallway. You go right from the waiting room into a room. And they were all these rooms were all around the perimeter. So like the waiting room is central, and there's like eight doors. And they would say, "You go to door six." And I would go into door six, and there was nothing to rifle through. It was just a white room with a table.
Did they lead you somewhere else after this?
Nope.
The
doctor
put your
would
hand
come
on the
in,
table.
The doctor would come in through the other door.
Wow.
And
he had like a central chamber that could get to all of them?
Like a hallway that went around
okay.
through them. And then so there I almost now I'm thinking maybe it's like an anti-rifling
It's possible. Maybe that's a problem. I mean, I always felt a real implicit social pressure, obviously, not to go through. And I don't steal things.
You give it a little bit of time. And, you know, if they take more than about 30, 45 seconds, then you're allowed to do
it. Right. Then it's their fault.
And then last week, it's funny you bring it up. I was at the eye doctor and I have a family history of glaucoma and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I go to like a real, what do you call them? Ophthalmologist. And they do like these tests on the pressure of my eyeballs and stuff. So I don't get to just go in and read the eye chart and get a new prescription and go out. So, but there were like 3 or 4 different tests I had to have. And in between each test, they'd make me wait 15 minutes. But every time, they would take me back out to the waiting room. They wouldn't let me sit in the room, even though they were doing the tests in the same room. And I'm now, in hindsight, I'm convinced it's anti-rifling.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense.
It sounds like something in your chart indicates you were a past rifler.
you've got a red star in the right-hand corner.
No, you know what? Because the hand place, everybody had to do it. Everybody went into the little I don't know what you want to call them. They're almost like they weren't even like offices.
It was sounds like an interrogation room.
Yeah,
really.
It sounds like a stall. Oh, it sounds like veal.
No, and it is. And interrogation room is what I thought. It seemed like something like the cops come in and talk to you across the table.
Right, yeah. And they come in through a different door. And yeah.
Was there a very large mirror along one wall?
it seemed like it would have been appropriate.
Right. Interesting.
And that's where the chief is in there.
Right.
Telling me how guilty I am. Do you guys ever eat at Macworld Expo? Like when you're like now a normal person like us who just walks in and sees what's new, then we leave to go eat. But like when Paul, like when you're
when we're exhibiting,
do you get the food?
Well, there's like something in the back of the expo hall that's atrocious and exorbitantly expensive because you're trapped there. So I'm sure I've eaten something there. I don't remember it. I've probably blacked it out, but. Mm. I wouldn't recommend it. There's plenty of good places right outside the expo hall if you can get there.
Boy, I tell you, may I? I'm not a political person, and I don't have strong feelings about unions. I feel like they're really good about certain things and not so great about others. But as a person who's been involved with conferences more on the book side, like in publishing, oh boy, just the nonsense of conferences and how, you know, for the carpentry stuff, you have to talk to Bob. And
oh, you're talking
absolutely
to half a dozen
can't talk
different
to
people.
Randy, who doesn't talk to Susan, and the concessions are all a part of it.
Yep.
And it's a nightmare. It's expensive. Yuck.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, and it's there's you got to talk to Joe, the internet guy, to have an internet connection at your booth, but he doesn't do Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and also you can't bring your own trash can. If you want a trash can, you have to get the trash can guy. And then if you want a trash can liner, you got to talk to a totally separate guy who's in Delaware right now.
All of that is a hassle, though, for the exhibitors,
right?
Where you can't have a trash can, you can't set up your own internet, you can't get the cable underneath the carpet. You've got to have the carpet guy come and put the cable.
It's two separate guys, yeah.
The food thing, though, is where the unionized restrictions and this is all we can offer. It really affects everybody. Because
if you're at the show and you don't want to leave the show. Yeah.
Right. And it somehow, like, as the decades go on, it's spiraled out of control. And now it's like prison food.
Yeah.
Because I noticed today when I was going through, I did notice, and I was going through what I believe would be prime lunchtime. You know, it was like sometime around 1. And there was nobody getting food.
Right.
I mean, and there was a lot of people in this expo. You know, it was seemed pretty busy. I think that's the consensus. And there was nobody back there. It's just like these lunch ladies, you know, ready to serve people and nobody in line. And it really kind of smelled bad.
Nobody pays for prison food.
Right.
And here they're trying to get you to do just that. So.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, it's the, convention food is on the same trajectory as food that was available in the Soviet Union in the 80s. Like, it's centrally planned. They have no incentive to make good stuff.
It's part newspaper.
There are, you know, ladies with rugged waistlines and no smiles. You have a rugged waistline?
No, see, I think you're unfairly criticizing the lunch ladies. I think they're fine. I think it's just the food.
All right, fair enough.
They're just working.
Yeah.
I think
it's
really the food.
Yeah, all right.
But they definitely have no incentive to make it any good.
Yeah, and I feel like in a hypothetical world where you could do this and you could reset the food contracts at the Moscone back to zero and just say, look, all of these rules, whatever, whoever's already got these concessions, get rid of them. We're going to start all over from scratch. It's probably not going to be great food.
It'll be like a ballpark, right?
Yeah.
It'll probably be like a ballpark. Like you'll get some garlic fries and some clam baker dips and stuff.
But yeah, I think that's a good, it's good analogy. You know, and you're not, you know, the hot dog you get at the ballpark is not great. It's, you know, but it's a hot dog and it's good and it's, you know, it's at least hot.
Yeah, you have options. You have options. What would you? Oh, guys, I think about this so much. You know, you're two smart guys. I would it would be so exciting to go into business with you too. You know, just in like to build a restaurant with both of you would I think be delightful. So if you're ever in the market to do a food concession, maybe a food truck. We could do a truck. Wouldn't take too much time. I have all the time in the world. I have no job.
Do you have the truck?
I have no truck.
You're out.
Yeah. What about food truck minus the truck? Just the food. Call it a food. It's a food.
And you just bring it places?
I guess so. Food bike? Mm.
Food trucks, it seems like that's a new hipster thing. There's I noticed that there's a food truck now in, what is it, Mint Plaza? Where...
sure, yeah.
Blue Bottle is there's a food truck there, and it's gone like they've gone. They used to be super low end. It was, you know, and it was like hardworking immigrants who, and you know, it's imagine. I often think about the people who work in like a food truck or a cart. Even, you know, some of them don't even have a truck in Philadelphia. It's just a cart.
Right.
You're standing in a little. You've got maybe 2 square feet of space, no seat. You're standing all day.
Yep, cooking food. Grease and,
right. Yeah. And often they have a remarkable variety of food available for something that they're making in a little cart. But now I feel like it's jumped and now it's gone to like...
It's gourmet. It's absolutely. Well, I think they started out, probably the most popular food trucks were, you know, construction sites, things like that, where they're just driving there, they're going to grill you up some burgers and that's it. And the first place I saw one, though, was using Twitter. That was their big deal, was they were some like sort of little upscale burger thing, but it was like, we're going to be at... this street.
Twitter made it easy.
Right. It was a way to find where the truck was going to be.
Right, right.
And then I don't know if that helped explode it or what, but that's where I first saw them, was using Twitter, using the internet to move around town.
Yeah.
And not need to get a standalone restaurant and the permits that requires.
Gee whiz, I can't remember the name of it now, but there's a cluster of food trucks in San Francisco. What are they called? They're named. I'll think of it later. But it's a bunch, and they all kind of rove to one place, and then
together.
They all set up there. Yeah, and it's a delightful festival of fun, and they've coming down out of San Francisco, and it's great for food options, as long as you're on board with. Funny puns.
Oh, yeah. Gotta have a pun.
One of the most popular food trucks here, I think, still is Chairman Bao. you have to have definitely some sort of surprising fusion, like fish meets sand, like sandfish, or, you know, banh mi, like creme brulee and a banh mi.
When I was at Drexel University, Drexel had a... I don't know if they still do or not.
Did they have the Chinese food truck?
No, they had... We had a whole street right in the middle of campus, like a little side street, where it was every day, all day, you know, it was just from one end of the corner to the other, all food cart or trucks and carts. And it was almost like a food court you could go to. You could get anything, you know. There was one, you know, it was like an Italian family, and they made, you know, good meatball sandwiches.
Was it near Penn, though? Was it near, like...
No, it wasn't that close.
Well, I remember one. I was at Penn for a summer, and they had a Chinese food truck, and it was Y-U-K space K-E-E apostrophe S. It was Yucky's Chinese Food, which was the worst possible name I could think of. But so you had complete variety, though?
Well, not so. It was like, do you want a meatball sandwich or do you want a cheesesteak? And everybody had soft pretzels. But you got to know the people, though. And that was part of the thing. And I wish I was always curious about such things, but never, I don't know, I wouldn't ask. Whereas now I would ask. And I'm curious, like, because they always had the exact same spot.
Like, oh, they lined up the
same
might way?
There might have been, I would say there were 8 or 9 trucks, and they were always in the same spots. Never, ever changed. And I always, you know, there's no, I'm surely there's no legal right to have that.
A specific spot. Right. Well, now that the cities are licensing where they can park, and I know Boston has, like, this is food truck parking, And, you know, I think maybe they agree within each other, you know, amongst themselves, you'll park here, I'll park here.
Also, the, you know, local chambers of commerce tend to be against them because they compete directly with existing businesses that pay things like rent and taxes to the neighborhood. And I'm sure that food trucks don't have to pay, you know, tax to the place in which they're parked. I really don't know how that works.
I don't think so.
They must have permits or something, though. So
that's
where you'd get your money from, I would think.
That's true. But I think those chambers of commerce tend to dislike the existence of those food trucks because they'll be gone tomorrow and they'll just have stolen your, you know, like 25 lunches. Like gypsies.
Well, it does. Part of it, the fact that it's a business on wheels. If you think about
it's very fly by night.
You get used to it. But I remember when I first got to Drexel and first encountered them, and I just thought, well, this is really weird having food that's made in a moving vehicle.
Right.
That they could, like, if something goes bad, if, you know,
if they kill some people with some food poisoning or something, they could just drive right out of town.
Right, they're gone.
Here's the problem. The problem is then it becomes a thing that everybody gets super excited about. Like, I can only eat out of a truck because that's just what we do now. Yeah. Wait, where did you get the steak? From a regular kitchen. That's a terrible idea. The place in San Francisco that I do recommend, that it's on Facebook and Twitter. It's called Off the Grid, and it's just that roving band of food trucks. It's delicious and great.
And they're on Facebook and Twitter?
I think. You tell me.
Well, no, but it's called Off the Grid. I mean,
I think it's called Off the Grid or Off the Grid SF or something. Yeah.
And the other thing, it's like random reminiscing. But there was a genius guy when I was at Drexel. It's what we called him, and it was the name of his truck, Taco Lou. And
now, do you think he got the nickname before the truck?
Well, I don't know, but it just the truck said Taco Lou's. And, you know, like all the other trucks, he served lunch, you know, breakfast to lunch, you know, they'd, you know, like daytime hours, you know, and you could eat at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, but they were like starting to put stuff away. Taco Lou's genius idea was he started parking his truck up by the fraternities on Friday and Saturday night.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know,
at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Midnight. Like he'd open back up, like, you know, and again, hardworking guy. There's a guy who spent like all day Friday serving people lunch tacos. And I guess, you know, maybe he went somewhere and took a nap
and then served some drunk tacos.
Then started serving. And the drunk taco line was just unbelievable. I mean, I don't think I ever even got one because it was like, you know, nobody goes there. It's too busy.
Right.
It was crazy. But, and we all thought, like, well, Taco Lou's a genius because, you know, we thought that he should serve, he should jack the prices up, you know.
At 2 a.m. or at midnight.
It'd sell like $20 tacos. But he didn't. He had like the same prices he had during the day.
He's a good man, Taco Lou.
Smart. Let's find him. Surely he's living in a palatial mansion
estate,
today.
Yeah.
Let's go find him and ask him. Maybe we'll get an audience. Just pouring myself some more bourbon. You guys didn't comment on how I elegantly took my sweater off.
Well, I didn't know if we wanted to talk about your... I don't know what to call that.
I just call it Hootie and the Blowfish rhythm guitar player shirt.
It looks like you could be at a ranch.
A super gay ranch.
Scott, well, I like to roll my sleeves up. Do you like the button on the elbow where you can...
It's a great question, John. I do like an elbow button, but I often feel like that mandates how far I'm supposed to take it up. And you know what?
Maybe you want to show off the biceps.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. Although, to be fair, I have two arms, but just they share a bicep.
Maybe you want to show off the bicep.
Thank you. They're innies.
There's three types of button-down shirts that you can roll up. There's the one that doesn't have any sort of aid.
Right.
There's ones that have a button.
Oh, up a little bit above the cuff.
A little bit above the cuff. And then there's the ones that have a strap. You ever see that?
I own a couple of those.
I don't care for the ones with the strap.
You know, honestly, we should just say that no conversation about clothes should take place in the presence of Paul Kafasis.
Wow.
Well, I say this with love. You're the master of the functional
wardrobe.
Thank you.
All right.
We've had conversations about those crazy toe shoes.
I run in those. I don't wear those. Let's be clear. I saw some people at the show wearing those. I'm not wearing those on a day-to-day basis.
Have you seen the formal ones? Have you seen the leather ones that they make? They make
leather ones.
Yeah, that's not a joke.
To wear to prom?
Like to wear to dinner, you know, with your, I don't know, you don't have a wife, obviously, if you're wearing those shoes.
Yeah.
By yourself. I don't know, on a date. I don't know. But yeah, they have fancy leather ones.
But we've had conversation about the zip-off pants.
Functional. Functional.
Super functional. So, yeah, I say, you know, I think
I've got button-down shirts. I can rock a button-down
shirt.
You're
a handsome. I've seen you dress up, and you're very handsome when you dress up.
I just choose not to.
Fair enough.
I feel those the shoes with the toes.
Mm.
It was a clever idea. They must be very comfortable, I guess, for some people. Some people must find them very comfortable. But it's one of those things that seemingly has very quickly become a religion.
Right.
And I think that's why they might be made. I was not aware that they're making dress-up leather ones. But I believe that it's because the people who get into it self-identify now as...
Toe shoe people? Yeah, see, that's the thing is I would not identify as, oh, I'm a toe shoe person.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
I run in them. They are, to me, it's sporting equipment.
I agree.
The same way,
and if
the same
I
way
see
you
it,
have bowling shoes.
Right. And I'm wearing bowling shoes right now.
Exactly.
But, you know, if I see you in a gym with the five finger shoes or whatever they're called, okay, fine. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to punch you in the nose. But, you know, if we're out at the steakhouse and you've got
that's not the place
patent leather five finger shoes. Ugh.
Is it just my experience or do you guys find that the toe shoe people want to tell you about their toe shoes?
A lot of excitement in the TSC or the toe shoe community. It's true
that they want you to try them. They're not going to take no for an answer.
Well, actually, I think about this a lot. You know, I have certain things in my life that I am really that I will proselytize. Right. A lot of people feel this way about Apple, of course. I have. I think certainly the one thing that I will that I will talk up and down all day is the Tempur-Pedic mattress. I love a Tempur-Pedic mattress.
The talk show this week is sponsored by Tempur-Pedic.
But that's the thing that I get really excited about. You know, if, like I will tell you my story and help you find the website so that you can buy the mattress, or I'll let you sleep in my bed for a night. And yes, I will have sex with you. But that's basically let's call that like a tip.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm changing your life.
I have to admit, you've got me here, Scott, because I'm not. Is it? You really are.
That's true.
This
really
is
am.
Actually true.
He's
it's not just a bit
at us like we're idiots for not having them.
No,
right.
I want to know this. To me, now we finally found what this episode is about. Tell
the
me, I do.
Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Right. No, tell me about it. Is Tempur-Pedic a brand or?
It's a brand, and I think it's also the sort of the parent. Like the generic version is memory foam, right? So it's instead of a spring. You just sleep on a giant slab of memory foam. And I would never have switched over to this kind of mattress if I hadn't been... My wife and I were house-sitting for friends of ours.
And you slept in their bed?
And we slept in their bed. Oh,
like you do.
We slept all over, up and down the bed. I don't know what that means. So, you know, you lay down in it, and it's this very strange sort of like
sink a little
you
bit.
You sink a little, you make sort of an impression. It doesn't push back, you push into it.
Yeah.
And I leaned back and I thought, well, this is a really strange... And then I woke up 10 hours later feeling wonderful. And let me tell you another thing about it that's amazing. As a person who now my job involves, you know, going out at night and then robbing people of their money and then coming home late. And so I will come home at 1 a.m. and my wife will be long asleep. The beauty of the Tempur-Pedic, you've presumably seen that commercial with the bowling ball and the glass of wine.
Exactly.
Do you know how handy that comes in?
When your spouse is already asleep and you're just trying to pass out in bed.
Yes.
Are you a Tempur-Pedic specific? Because I have a memory foam mattress, but it's not Tempur-Pedic. I don't know.
I think, is it 100% or is it
a thing? No, it's not the pillow top. It's the whole thing.
I don't know what the difference is or if there's, you know, I've certainly become a brand.
Okay, you're a loyalist.
You know, loyalist only because the weird thing about beds is how often do you sleep in other beds except in a hotel.
Hotels,
and then you don't know what it is.
And it's a big investment. I mean, they're like...
Yeah, it's like a $1,400 or something.
$2,000,
yeah. And this is one of those things where I love to sleep. God, I love to sleep.
You got to give it a shot. And I think there's even a way to like.
I think they've
take
got like a 30-day
kind of thing. Yeah,
which is weird.
It's gross.
Yeah,
I hope I didn't get
the used one.
I hope I didn't get, or maybe like a thrice used one.
Right.
Right. Like when your 30-day thing is over and you're like, well, it's great. I'm in. I'm going to just buy it. I'm sold. And they're like, well, we'll send you a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to send that one back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't want to sterilize that one.
That one is not the one you want to sleep in for more than 30 days. We're actually legally not allowed to let you sleep in that for more than 29
mandated,
nights.
FDA mandated. Right.
We have to show up. It's not a cost thing. We're not being cheap. It's just ringworm.
Now, the problem I found with the mattress, though, is I lost some weight. Mm-hmm. And the mattress, you know, shapes itself to your body.
Oh,
and
okay.
So
interesting.
If you lose, you know, a good amount of weight, you're just going to sink into that bed.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't had that problem. I've been consistently gaining weight for 14 years. So
that's working for you then. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So it doesn't... See, now I'm confused. See, I assumed that once I woke up... But
it's no, it springs back. It's
but it has some...
Well, that may actually be the difference between the Tempur-Pedic and other versions.
I have a lesser mattress.
In all honesty, I don't know if they don't last as long. We flip ours every 6 months or something. I really do. Like again, like
you
that was the
a,
first thing I thought.
You're an evangelist.
People
for
get
the...
excited about things. I get excited about the Tempur-Pedic mattress experience.
God, I wish I loved anything as much as you love the Tempur-Pedic mattress.
No. If I knock on your door wearing a white button-down short sleeve shirt and a tie with my name tag on my
and a lab
my,
coat,
yeah, and a lab coat,
you're a sleep scientist.
I'm a sleep scientist. Then let me in and let me show you the glory of a mattress.
Do you like sleeping in a guest bedroom at somebody's house?
I'd rather pay for the hotel.
I'm a hotel guy.
Well, why? What's the problem?
Noises, odors.
Your noises, your odors or theirs?
Everybody's. I mean,
yeah.
I think there's nothing nicer than coming to a friend's house for, let's say, a dinner or to, you know, just for a few hours, mm-hmm. and to have somebody open their home to you. It is a sign of friendship and generosity, and mm-hmm. it's a way to get to know people, and I think it's just great.
And the nicest thing you can do is to leave after.
Get out.
Right, and to me, sleeping in their house is just way too intimate. There is nobody... I'm lucky that I like to sleep in my own house.
Well, I think we make a mistake when we measure sort of age phases of our life with our ages, right? Because one of the big life changes is when you do have both the financial means, but also the impatience to switch over to not staying at people's houses. Because what people do when they're 24 and they're traveling around is they sleep on their friend's couch because they have to. And at a certain point, you're like, I will just pay. Or it's like the same thing happens when you switch your luggage from a backpack to a suitcase. You're like, this is a life change. And we should have better linguistic indicators of our ages that make use of those transitions rather than just a number. Because that is a specific one that, like, if the three of us were, like, super into staying at friends' houses, it would be strange because we're out of that phase of life.
We're too old for that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being younger and doing that, of course, because that's how you do stupid things when you're younger.
You know, I think about it. What I want is my own toilet. That's really what it is.
I
want a home toilet. And
that's
if I'm
huge.
At your house, that's your toilet.
Yeah, although I would love to show you my toilet.
You've got some evangelizing to do
it's
about
a,
your toilet
it's
as well.
It's a Tempur-Pedic memory foam toilet. It's waterless. It's actually just the bed. That's how you make a Tempur-Pedic waterbed. Oh, now we are getting somewhere with the show. It's usually so boring.
When you're in a hotel, you could do anything to the toilet. I mean, you could destroy the toilet. I mean, I'm really...
And the bed, too, really.
And
yeah.
And they are equipped to deal with it.
Like, you can take a two-hour shower.
Yeah.
No consequences.
Exactly. Yeah. And worst case scenario is you just leave a little bit more of a tip.
Right.
And you're out of it. Guilt conscious free.
Maybe
whereas
a note.
If you're
maybe
at,
a note.
Maybe yeah. a note.
Maybe
so
a note.
Sorry.
Those are not shards of glass. You should use gloves either way.
I actually have in my the bag that I travel with a pad, a notepad and
of pre-written apologies.
It starts with so sorry. I don't have to write that. It's just I just rip it off and I don't even have to begin it. And then it's
in sort of a fun 60s cursive font. Right. So sorry, I with your floor and your
the carpet
sheets.
Or whatever. Whatever the case is.
Oh, okay. Tell
you,
I got a good story.
Boxes?
I got a good story.
Do you have checkboxes? You say so sorry.
No, I should, though. I think
checkboxes.
I should make them up with checkboxes.
Right. Get it printed up and you can just check off whatever happened.
It's a great
happened.
Idea. And I love, like, you know, the possibilities. Like, you could put things on there that may never happen. Genocide. I don't know.
So sorry about the genocide.
Yeah, you never check it. Good to have.
It's good to have.
It's good to have in your back pocket.
All right, so you have a story?
Mussolini. Yeah, so.
Well, let me do the sponsor break, and then I'll know we could jump right back into it with your story. I want to thank our sponsor. We've got one big sponsor for the show this week, and it's Squarespace. So our friends at Squarespace, they have a great new product. It's the new version of Squarespace, and here's what it is. Everybody knows. To do it yourself, you make your own website with Squarespace. You just sign up. You make your website. Marco was on last week. Marco, our man, 15 minutes, the guy wanted him to have a new podcast. 15 minutes later, he had a website for it at Squarespace. So you guys are no Marco.
I don't know if that's true.
He's right.
It was just like the greatest coincidence in the world. I asked Marco to be on the show.
Oh, he loves Squarespace. And
the guy who like built, engineered Tumblr.
Right.
Goes to Squarespace to start a new website.
Also, right. When Marco does a thing, it's, you know, I trust Marco's decision and opinions about things. So because that's a big vote.
I proposed to his wife because I assumed that was the optimal wife you could get.
Great call.
Right, exactly. So what do they have? Everything on their platform is drag and drop. It's not, you're not coding a website. You're not writing, you know, programming it or something like that. You sign up, you drag things, you just start, it's all drag and drop. You want to put a picture in, you drag it in from your desktop into the browser window. That's it. You don't have to upload it. You don't have to learn SFTP, that sort of stuff. Do they have templates? They've got an amazing number of templates. Their templates are beautiful. You could customize everything in them. If you like it, everything about this template, but you want to change one thing, you can change that one thing. If you're a designer, you want to design the whole thing from scratch, you can do that too. They support, you know, use a template, design your own template. Either way, everything they have, all of their stuff is responsive. That's a fancy way of saying that when you load it on your iPhone,
it still looks good.
It's formatted for the iPhone. When you load it on your iPad, it's perfectly formatted for the iPad. And when you load it on, what are those things called?
A Nexus tablet. A Surface table.
No, computers.
Okay.
The things we used to use before we had iPads, computers. It looks great on any browser. So what do they have? They've got an unlimited plan. That's the best value. You get unlimited pages, unlimited galleries. You can create a blog. You can create multiple blogs.
Like, what's that going to run me? Do we know?
It's
a good price, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you what I do know. I don't know what the price is. But I do know, though, that if you go there and you use the offer code THETALKSHOW2, T-H-E, TALKSHOW, and then the digit 2.
Numeral 2.
Well, now the reason they've got the numeral 2 in there is that they sponsored last week's show with the Talk Show 1. Ooh. Don't put that one in anymore, because that's, you guys, if you signed up last week with the Talk Show 1 offer code, I salute you. You did great. You're supporting the show. But don't use that one anymore. Use the Talk Show 2. That way they know that you...
That one's been canceled, actually, I think. That one's out.
Yeah, that
one...
You can't
even use it.
Maybe that one, you have to. They charge you more.
Yeah, right. They've upped the price if you do that.
They charge you more. But you get 10% off. You get a 10% discount. And that's, you know, you just... You're coming out ahead of all the suckers who just sign up for regular Squarespace.
The non-listeners.
Without the Talk Show code. Proof that they at Squarespace listen to the show is the fact that they included the in the Talk Show, that it's not just... Talk show one.
Show
don't
two.
Put that in. That won't work. So go to squarespace.com/thetalkshow. That'll let them know. That'll also let them know you came here from this show. But then I think you still have to use the offer code when you sign up. So my thanks to Squarespace. Everything you need to build an exceptional website. All right, Scott, you have a story.
Yeah, I was also just thinking
about apologizing to maids, I believe. It's where we were going.
I'll tell you what this happened when we were staying in a hotel in Seattle. Woke up one morning, my wife was just staring at me like, so what are we going to do? I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, you don't remember anything.
Was there a body?
No. Well, she said, last night, you got up out of bed, and then, about 3 minutes later, I heard you knocking on the door, and, I opened the door and I said, what are you doing? And you said to me, she said, you know, you said to me, what are you doing? And then I walked
you
in.
You were real surly.
Yeah. She said, evidently what happened was you got up, presumably to use the restroom.
Oh, God.
And then you went out the wrong door in your sleep, peed everywhere in the hallway. And then knocked on the door to get back into the room and came back and went right back to sleep. And as she was telling that story,
you said, "This sounds like me."
I was, you know, sleepwalking is a thing, but the thing that bummed me out, I just listened to that story and it's like the character in that story is awesome. And it's sad because I can't remember it and I'm bummed about that. I don't know why. Oh, I just pee-pee jokes, pee-pee stories. But yeah, no, that was a thing. And so that actually was, I went on app.net. Maybe I had done that before. Like, so how much should you tip for weird
for
stuff?
Victorating all over the hallway.
That's right.
Right. And that is a little outside the normal bounds of hotel tipping, where you're tipping within your room.
Yeah,
you tip
yeah.
the person who's going to come in and clean your room. Whereas yeah. if you've done some
hall stuff,
you just need to put $100 bill on the wall and just stick a knife into it and just in the hallway. And yeah. they'll know what it's for.
Yeah, you definitely. I guess the moral of the story is in your notepad. You're with the check marks according to the reasons. You definitely want an other.
Yeah, you need don't an other with a couple lines.
Yeah, because
you never would have predicted that either. I mean, you're during your anecdote, you pointed at me because you know that I've had several similar circumstances.
Yeah, and you know, it turns out it's fairly common. Like, it happens among, like, people will sleepwalk.
Two out of three people in this room have micturated in a hotel room in a place that was not the toilet.
That they know.
Oh,
it's
you think,
possible.
You think I'm three out of three and it's, I just don't even know.
You never know.
It's possible.
So,
you're right.
You have to have independent verification.
Yeah, and I guess I always had the wrong idea about what sleepwalking was. You know, and it was my understanding of sleepwalking was informed by like Popeye cartoons.
Right. Arms out.
Right.
Bumping into walls.
Yeah. Eyes closed.
Of course. And it's really just sort of like, I guess what it really is you're just sort of semi waking up.
Right.
Like and you know, I think very probably commonly because you have to pee, you have to urinate, and your body as an adult, once you reach that stage where you
doesn't let you just go.
Right. Like you actually can't. Like that's actually like the Jackass guys had that thing or maybe it was Howard Stern. I don't know. But one of those shows where people do crazy stunts, they were trying to pee their pants all together and none of them could like bring themselves.
Perform?
Even consciously? Like just in a room?
Yeah. It was
interesting.
Well, I'm sure readers or listeners of the talk show will point it out because I think it was pretty. I forget if it was Howard Stern or Jackass. I think it was Howard Stern though. I think it was Howard Stern and they all put on Depends. And they were trying to pee their pants on air on purpose as a gag, which is kind of a funny gag. And they couldn't do it. Like you actually, like your body is hooked up not to do it. So you're.
It's probably a good thing.
You have to pee. Your body wakes up. You start walking, but you're not really up. And then next thing you know, you're down there at the front desk of the hotel wearing your underwear, saying,
I need my room key.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know at Cornell Hotel Management, you know it's a 300 or 400 level class. But it's like
dealing
you know,
with sleepwalkers,
dealing with, you know, confused men in their underwear.
Now, let me get your opinion on this. Waking a sleepwalker. Yes or no?
Well, I think they instantly die.
Right. That is what
every Nancy Drew mystery I've ever read shows that they instantly die.
I see. Now, I think that's one of those things where I have this misconception that you do, for God's sake, whatever
do
you do, don't wake
do
a sleepwalker.
And you just let them piss all over the whole hallway or
right.
whatever.
Whereas what I think is the times that I've had these problems, I think like a good slap in my face is what I needed. You know,
right.
Oh, the toilet. Right. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. And I'm lucky, too, where I've always, you know, I am a no matter what happens, I can always get back to sleep. So it wouldn't be like, oh, you woke me up and now I can't get back to sleep. I get back to sleep anyway. But I think like something to make me a little bit more conscious so that I know that, yes, this is the bathroom door, not the door to go out in the hallway. It would be good.
So now somebody's going to do it to you and you're just going to keel over dead and that'll be the end of it.
How did John die?
Listen
somebody
to episode 227 of Touch. Well, the other thing, too, is there's like the standard format for a hotel room where the bathroom is...
Right.
Is just to the right or left of the...
To the right or left.
Of the entrance,
but then there's some weird hotels that are like, you know, like octagon-shaped and then it stuffs at different angles.
There's ultimate fighting in there for some reason.
Have you heard the story? I can't remember if it was a This American Life or like some sort of, you know... It was one of those
white guy radio.
Yes, it was a WGR story where it was about a guy who, blind guy, very confident in his skills, has great, you know, who's been blind I think his whole life, could not find the bathroom in his hotel room. And it's because it was an unfamiliar configuration and there was some goofy thing, or maybe it was the door, but it was some goofy thing that just kept tricking his ability to walk around the room and feel what was happening around the room. And he would just pass right by the actual opening.
And so he
was
just going in circles?
Going in circles for a long time. It's a cool story. Yeah, we should find it because it's fascinating.
At that point, you can just go wherever you want. It's like the doctor's waiting room. If it's been that long,
oh, yeah.
Just go.
Yeah, that's
on them.
Yeah, that's called blind guy prerogative, too. Like, you can just do – that's fine, and everybody's on board with that. That's Cornell Hotel Management 324,
blind guy prerogative. Right.
So restaurants sometimes are in a truck. As we talked about.
Sure.
This is what I'm thinking here with your story.
Right, right.
Why a bathroom truck?
Hotel truck.
Oh, hotel truck.
Mm.
No, I don't I don't trust it.
What about hotel van?
Oh, God.
just a queen-size mattress.
Hotel windowless van.
Hotel windowless van.
No, I don't trust it because the hotel could move while I'm asleep.
Or maybe you want it because the hotel will move when you're asleep. And it's like the moving castle.
Suddenly you wake up.
And you're in Arizona.
Maybe you're in Vegas.
Who knows?
Maybe you're in Omaha, Nebraska.
It's a surprise.
See, I'm thinking, though, much like Taco Lou's genius of go to where the hungry people are.
Go to where
the sleepy people are.
Yeah.
But the sleepy people don't need anything from you. They can just go to sleep.
Not necessarily. Not if they have to get home, for example, or, you know.
Think about Las Vegas. I think Las Vegas, maybe that would be a place where that would be a good city for it because you might wind up 2, 3, 4 miles away from your hotel.
Isn't this just called a cab, though?
Yeah, but maybe you don't want to ride that cab.
Slow down, Paul. There's something here.
All right, I'm sorry.
Maybe that's what normal people do is you say you just get in a cab, take you back to your hotel.
Tell them your address, fall asleep.
But then you're 25 minutes away from going to sleep. Whereas if it was right there, you'd just check right in.
Ooh, also, oh my
check
God.
Check into the hotel
We're
van.
We're going to be millionaires because you know who sponsors this? Tempur-Pedic. They are never able to give people that nighttime sleep experience. So
there it is.
We just buy an old school bus.
A VW Vanagon.
Yeah, or Vanagon. Like,
I think Tempur-Pedic in there.
No, it's got to be bus size because
it's got to be a school bus. Or all right,
well,
we're going to throw 10.
It's got a scale.
You're right.
So we're going to throw in like 10.
And you can
10,
just cruise the strip.
Cruise the strip
and
sleepy
school bus.
You're going to get
everybody hooked on the Tempur-Pedics.
Sleepy school bus. And back to Nancy Drew, my favorite Nancy Drew mystery.
The sleepy school bus.
Curse of the sleepy school
bus. Okay,
the
curse of.
But yeah, Tempur-Pedic sponsors it, and I presume pays for everything. Right. I don't know how sponsorship works.
Yeah.
But we're going to be so rich.
One way or another, Tempur-Pedic owes us money. Just send them an invoice, right?
No, the sponsors pay for everything. Squarespace bought the Michter's Sour Mash Bourbon or whiskey.
Delicious.
That we're
right
now, which is actually really good.
We got, I feel like you can hear in the show where, we got a little looser.
WWDC. So there's a big conference and hotels get tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. They fill up. And then you start, you know, if you're on a, you know, you don't want to spend too much. And then all of a sudden you're looking at hotels 6, 7 blocks out. South by Southwest, even better example. South
right.
by Southwest, they literally sell out of hotels. And if you book too late, you actually, no exaggeration, no hyperbole, they recommend to you hotels that are like
Dallas. Like a La Quinta in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah, Dallas. Right. Yeah, and it's like, and there will be a shuttle.
Right, right. You're going to have to get up at 3 a.m.
Right.
You'll miss the morning sessions, but you'll get there by 1 p.m. and
right.
that's
but
it.
But it doesn't make sense for the city of Austin to build up hotel
for
capacity
that 1 week.
For that 1 week.
Oh, sleepy school bus comes in.
Yeah. Just like a food truck.
Well, I think South by Southwest, we'd have a fleet of them.
I mean, they're called, please don't let me just force that name upon us. That's just my working title, sleepy school bus. But, you know, we have, yeah, exactly. Just every,
doesn't sound upscale.
You know what happens,
can
though?
Can we upscale it a little?
Like when people see let's think about the title. When people see the sleepy valet rolling into town, and they see, you know, bus after bus coming in. You get citizens out on the streets
clapping,
like woohoo! Let's do this. It's party time.
It's a
working title,
code name or something,
right?
You know.
Sure.
No, I'm thinking that we're shooting for like 4-star, 4.5 star.
It's upscale.
Let's face it, we're not going to get a 5th star.
No, you can't.
If you don't have a foundation, there's no 5th star available to you.
Right, but I think we could shoot for 4.5 stars
and we settle for four.
And we'll probably get four.
So do we have one bus that's just the business center? One bus that's a
it's
gym?
It's got a printer. Right, exactly.
It's a hotel on wheels, but it's like 47 separate, yeah. wheels. It's like so many wheels. It's right. a half mile well, of hotel. That's another half mile
just,
of hotel.
Let's check these off, though. What are the hallmarks of your, you know, like a nice, right. not great. You're not talking about the Four Seasons.
You're looking
We're talking
for a Sheraton level experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Four stars. So you've got to have a bar.
Oh, yes, you now, do.
Well, wait, does the isn't the Sheraton the one that doesn't have bars?
No, that's Marriott.
That's
well,
Marriott.
Marriotts
right.
have bars, but they're run by the Mormons.
Yeah,
so
and they close at like 6 p.m. They're open from 5:30 to 6.
They're
or
only open when you don't want to drink.
Right. They're open from 5:30 to 6 a.m., right?
You look thirsty. Slam.
So you need to have a hotel bar.
You need a bar, but I think you need a workout room. Yes. I love an elliptical. And a
you're never going to get four stars without the health club.
You will. You need a health club.
Yeah.
Now, how are we going to do the pool? That's really the problem.
You don't need a pool. I don't think you need a pool.
You can get away without the pool.
I think you can get away without a pool.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
Pool
yeah.
is a great thing to have in a hotel, but I think you can get away without it.
We can't do like a rooftop pool on these buses?
It's a great idea. It's a great question. Idea. You know, you go,
can we get somebody to look at this at least?
Yeah, we
the
need
the double decker bus.
Yeah.
Oh.
The double decker bus.
You can get like a bed and there's just nothing up there. That's like the Starlight bedroom.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'd pay extra for that.
Private bathtubs on the roof.
Yeah.
It just jumped out to me because we were in New York last week for the day and saw a tour bus going through Times Square and it's January in New York and it was it's sort of like a cold snap, so it was colder than usual. And there were people on the second deck and it was the second deck was half covered, half uncovered, and there were people in the uncovered part. And I thought,
well you really want to get those smells. You want to get the smells of New York.
But people love a double D. It's true.
Well, I can't believe that people would volunteer to be driven in 20-degree weather, open air. But buy those buses. We'll put that pool on the open part. We don't even have to retool.
We don't even have to refit them. Yeah.
This is pre-built for success, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And
this is great.
So maybe the elliptical trainers.
Yeah.
They're in the covered portion upstairs.
Oh, I see.
So we got our pool and our gym right next to each other.
Oh, I see. Yep. So it's the patio. Go up to the patio, get some sun and some sweat, and then come back down. Now, I do have a question, not to be too practical about this horrible idea.
Let's be frank.
How, you know, as we all have mentioned here, one of the most important things is privacy in both the shower and bathroom context. Ooh.
So I think this is something where you are just sleeping. I don't think you get a chance, and maybe that's where we're losing our half star. We're going from 4.5 to 4. if you need a restroom or a shower,
well, you
tough
know,
shit.
Yeah, and you know the Ace, some of the Aces, a lot of the rooms at the Ace hotels don't
shared
have
bathrooms.
Yeah, they have shared bathrooms.
Yeah, and so our shared bathroom is with the Denny's.
Yeah, our shared,
we're driving
our shared
right
bathroom
by.
Is the Hilton that we park in front of.
Yeah,
and steal their cable too.
The Ace is the model for this because the Ace. I have stayed in an Ace, and they do some incredibly aggressive design techniques on their bathroom.
There's some austerity,
right?
It is very much an upscale hotel. It's not cheap. It's upscale, but they're doing some weird things. I stayed in the Ace in Portland a couple years ago, and my shower was just in the room. Like,
right.
And not frosted glass. It was glass enclosed, but it was just perfectly clear glass.
Right.
Now,
they call that the sexy suite, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw that on RedTube.
Well, I'll tell you.
You on RedTube.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You specifically.
Me taking a shower is not sexy.
Super
me taking
sexy.
A shower is gross. now, I was there by myself. So
it's fine.
In a sense, it shouldn't have mattered. But yet, even
though... You still
though
felt violated?
I felt incredibly embarrassed.
I totally agree with you. The standard in New York does the same thing where it's a glass... It's a not even frosted. It's just a plain glass barrier between the bed. And it was just me. But I felt like...
The dresser should not see you naked,
well,
is
that
what
is
you're
true.
Saying.
Yeah. As what, little as possible.
What I thought was, well, what if I were here with Amy? What if my wife were here?
Right.
She'd be out there like on her iPad sitting in bed reading or something, and there's my gross...
You're scrubbing your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how about worse? How about if you're a business traveler And, you know, you sometimes have to double up for business travel.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just horrible.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Then you go into, like, the cleaning. Like, you know how you shower, or I imagine people do shower when they think other people are watching? It's like a different kind of showering. Like, you don't really get in there like you do when it's just you. That's all I'm saying. Hey, it's just me here. Paul and John stepped out for a second, so I'm going to just take a second to mention that this episode is sponsored by
Tempur-Pedic and Michter's Sour Mash Original Whiskey.
US 1 small batch sour mash.
Are we taking
whiskey
it too far? It's a little loose.
I think this might have let's just say it's not watertight. It's you know, we can't,
unlike our buses.
It's not
which
seaworthy.
Will be.
That's right.
I it does occur to me, this is random, it's out of the blue. Scott, you're not really a sports fan. You're not really a sports guy.
Paul, I'm medium. I'm not an anti-sports, he said, throwing his wrist out of joint.
Did you see the thing this week where there's a new performance-enhancing drug scandal with baseball and some very high-profile names?
It sounds like Chinese medicine.
Right.
The story is it's a clinic.
Anti-aging is in quotes.
And a lot of this was all new to me. And it's the Miami New Times. And it's, I guess that's a small newspaper. And all hats off to them. A huge scoop. They're reporting. It was just incredibly well written. It's this is why America has newspapers. Really just a great job. But I learned so much. It's this, anti-aging clinic. And the idea is, and this is all news to me, that if you classify aging as a disease, that you are therefore, and you're a medical doctor, you've got the piece of paper, you can write prescriptions. You can just write people prescriptions
for all kinds of stuff.
All sorts of stuff.
Human growth hormone is what you're about to say. But
right, human growth hormone and this stuff. Because you're afflicted with this disease called aging, which...
Called going to die someday.
I think we've all got that.
Right. And instead, and that this whole anti-aging thing was really just a front, and that what they were really doing to make money was selling the same substances to athletes, you know.
And wasn't one of them like deer antler velvet? Like without joking, like I think like something that came
was
up.
Part of that. That is Chinese medicine.
That's
style.
That was where I thought you guys were going. No, with that. I thought like part of the story was that one of the sprays or something is made of deer antler velvet or something.
I don't know. It's a weird thing, and I understand. I don't know. As a guy, you know, we're sitting here, we're drinking bourbon. It's poison, technically poison. You know, it's not like I'm Pollyanna about putting substances in my body. But I do feel, though, that with these athletes that it's like, I guess I understand the motivation that you want to stay on top of your game. And if you can get an edge over your opponents, it even helps you. But if you had this phenomenal body that may let you be a professional athlete, why in the world would you risk screwing it up with these weird, crazy substances that you're getting from a guy illegally?
Who has the same lab coat as the Drive Savers guys.
I'm a doctor. Take this pill.
Like, there is no equivalent in our fields for performance-enhancing drugs. There's just performance de-enhancing drugs, right?
Like, we all start at zero, and it only
gets
minuses.
Worse.
Yeah.
Right.
And yet we voluntarily decide to go minus.
All right. So, checklist. We're going to open up a suite or a fleet.
Mm-hmm. A fleet, that is the word, yeah. Of hotel buses.
Hotel buses.
Hotel bus fleet. We don't have a name for it yet. We'll find that out. We'll figure that out.
Pools on the top.
Yeah. Ellipticals covered. Yeah.
Right.
We're going to invoice Tempur-Pedic.
Tempur-Pedic.
They owe us a lot right now.
They're going to fund it.
And a big selling point is you're going to sleep great.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to investigate the science of sleepwalking.
Right.
Figure out whether, in fact, people die.
Should you wake them up or not?
All right. Yeah.
Should you wake them up?
All right. Do we guarantee that when you wake up in the morning that the hotel is still in the same spot?
No, absolutely not. That is not something
that we can
do.
I thought the whole point was getting you to your real hotel.
No.
Well, that is so... I don't even know if you've been listening this whole time.
Yeah.
That's... my guess is that what people do when they sign up for, again, Sleepy School Bus, I don't know, when they sign up for Sleepy Bus...
they're rolling the dice. Like, maybe they'll luck out and wake up in front of their house. Maybe they'll wake up outside of a meth lab in Tempe,
Arizona. Odds are pretty much against them, it sounds like.
What if we guarantee that you won't wake up in the same spot?
Well, let's put it this way. It's a real monkeys and typewriters situation. It's just going to be random. So it's possible that you'll wake up in front of your house. It's possible that you wake up in front of the White House. Who knows? We don't know.
We're going to need hotel restaurants.
Yeah,
So I believe they're just trucks driving alongside of our buses.
Right, so we're just,
lean out the window,
right,
and ideally the same speed, but within a couple of miles an hour.
Oh, that's very smart. Oh, so this is how you'll, for example, check in. You'll just check in on the interstate. You'll get on the bus, then that bus will pull up at speed with the bus next to you, which will be your room.
Because we don't have time to slow down.
Oh, we're on the run, / move.
So you do get a phone. You'll get a phone, and it'll have those buttons. Like, now you don't have to dial numbers. There's little icons.
There's a little concierge.
Right. And so, like, now, it's going to be – obviously, space is at a premium. You'll press the little luggage button to get the valet desk.
Right.
Then the valet bus
pulls
up next to you, and – what do you want?
Right. What color is your bag?
And then he'll hand you the bag, and you can get what you need out of it, and then hand it back to him.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to tip and change so that you can throw it at him.
I think that this would be incredibly fun.
Oh, this is a moneymaker. Well, it's a moneymaker. It's a genius idea. I mean, it really takes advantage of the superior highway infrastructure that we have in this country as well.
Thank God for Eisenhower. He made this all possible.
Thank you, Ike.
I think it's sad. I mean, I think we've got this thing covered from
so this is probably the last episode, because by next week, we're going to be driving
so
in money.
So rich.
Well, we'll have the hotel will sponsor the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
At that point, it'll just be a labor of love, not be commercial in any way.
Right. Anything? What else? We want to thank Squarespace, the actual sponsor of the show.
Sure.
Go there, squarespace.com/thetalkshow, and the code is thetalkshow, digit 2.
I mean, we covered pretty much everything that happened this week in technology.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? The other great thing, and you know this from the You Look Nice Today, because you guys have always been very generous on that podcast with your business ideas and conveying them.
And, oh, yeah, totally.
And that your audience has always respected you by not these ideas before you implement them.
Very
and they
respectful.
Never rip you off. Not
very
one time.
Respectful.
And I think we can trust the talk show listeners. They're
not going to rip off hotel buses.
They're all probably ready to book a couple nights stay, but they're not going to rip us off and go and do it ahead of us. They're going to wait for us to.
And they can use coupon code thetalkshow2. To save at least 20% on their room.
I say for the people who jump on early, you get book two nights, get one night free.
All right.
Fair enough. That's cool. That's fine with me. I mean, again, three nights of driving can take you upwards of 8 states from where you got on the bus. But if you're on board with that, then you're on board with that. That's our slogan. If you're on board
you're on board.
When you check in, part of the paperwork might be whether or not you have any legal problems with
in specific states.
Great question. Right. You do want to know
which state should we avoid?
Who's wanted in
But you know what? You know, we could probably make some money with that too. Bounties and whatnot. If they tell us don't go to Nebraska, we should probably go to Nebraska.
For Nebraska. Yeah. That's our actual business model.
Yeah, all these companies have no business model. We've got two business models. We're going to take your money, and then we're going to sell you to the bounty hunters.
Like, you think you're checking in to a
200... four and a half star hotel bus.
And the next thing you know, you've got...
you're in the clink.
You've got to pay all of your child support for the last 30 years that you've been ditching because
I think we get a percentage on that, too. I believe that's how that works.
Yeah, I think you could totally...
this is a real moneymaker.
My standard for the success of a podcast is when you can't tell if the thing you just talked about for 90 minutes was brilliant or really, really stupid. And we just exceeded that standard /... went under that standard.
Cheers. We limoed under that bar.
That's right.
The other thing I could totally see, too, is at a trade show, like at Macworld Expo next year, we'll have one of the hotels on the show floor.
Oh, great idea. You can just
drive it in there.
We'll drive it in there. It's there. And then the people on the show floor can just come in and,
and they can try their Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Absolutely.
Right.
And they can sign some paperwork, and maybe we drive them,
They could sign upwards of 450 pages of paperwork.
All right. Thank you, guys. This was great.
Thank you.
Thank you.